Warning, this podcast is not affiliated with Fox, Next Level Chef, the contestants, or its production. Hey, it's Chef Kelsey Murphy from MasterChef Season 11, here with my filmmaker friend, Pete Ferrero. We are here to chat with you all about Next Level Chef Season 3. Each week, we will break down every episode to chat about the contestants, their dishes, and all of the drama that is sure to happen. Hey guys, welcome to The Real Eats. Kelsey here with my good friend, Pete, and we have an exclusive interview with one of the most recently eliminated contestants from Next Level Chef. Welcome to the podcast, Mata.
Let's go. What's up,
guys?
Let's go. Shrimp Daddy's in the building.
We knew it was coming.
Mata, you really like shrimp.
It's funny. This whole thing started. I mean, I cook shrimp every now and then, but I'm a meat eater. I'm a steak guy. I'm a corn.
Right. No way.
But I don't know what it, you wouldn't guess, right? These biceps wouldn't give it away. But I don't know what it was. Out of 14 cooks on Next Level Chef, I got shrimp 6 times. And for the most part, it did me well. And I think, I don't know if I was a shrimp magnet or if like, I always told people my strategy, I always used to run to the far left for some reason. And mainly because I didn't want to go in the middle of the chaos. Because if I hit somebody, it wouldn't be pretty.
Right.
So I try to avoid everybody. I went to the far left, and I think that's where they place the shrimp every single time.
They just put it right there.
Yeah,
so although, you know what? Like,
daddy.
Seafood would totally be like my go-to. It's like,
yeah, it's
quick cooking. So you don't really worry about it until the very end.
So quick to make.
Yeah.
It literally takes you like 2 minutes to cook the shrimp. So that was one thing that, you know, you don't have to worry about.
It's a great game.
But it's funny because I never cooked shrimp that much in my life. Like, I was like, please, I want a lamb chop. I want a nice ribeye. Please.
Right.
Pray. Never got one.
It's crazy. Those pulls are just like nuts, like grabs. I just like can only imagine what the pressure is like.
Yeah, that's, I mean, people, the grab is everything on that show. The grab, like, you can be the best chef in the world if you have a bad grab. And you have, even if you get a bad grab, if you can't like think on the fly and think quick, then you're pretty much screwed. So it's all about the grab. Like, it's funny because everything is almost like slow motion because you grab, okay, I got this shrimp. And then I'm going, okay, what do I have? Okay, I got noodles. Okay, so I'm going Asian. So I'm looking for soy. I'm looking for oysters. So I'm looking, like, so you're planning your dish as you're grabbing.
That's crazy.
Everybody else is trying to snag all the ingredients out of your hands at the same time. So it's just like that 10 seconds of mayhem is just absolute chaos.
It's funny because like the recent episodes, they've been giving like a 10 second advantage, which like you were like, what? Like 10 seconds. But that's everything. Like 10 seconds is huge when it comes to the grab.
That's all you need, really. 10 seconds.
Right.
If you're by yourself, you can grab everything you need because you got the best protein. You can grab.
Yeah, and there's not like hands everywhere.
Because half the time, and a lot of times, like, the bottles are labeled, like the soy sauce, the red wine, they're all in the same bottle, but there's a little sticker on it. But sometimes things get knocked around.
Right.
So like you don't know, like you're grabbing, you think it's soy sauce, it might be red wine. So like you have to like be careful what you're grabbing. You're going to read it. Like, it's just absolute chaos. But I love the chaos. I live for
so
it.
So fun.
Yeah.
So fun.
Yeah. I think that's why I did so well on the show is like what I lacked in experience and talent as a chef. I made up for it with being an athlete. I did WWE as a pro basketball player. So I'm very good at thinking on a fly. I'm very good under pressure. I like the pressure. I like the stress, the limelight. I thrive under that pressure. So I think that's where I had an advantage over other people because I'm used to that kind of stuff where other chefs were a lot more talented than me. And I'll be honest to say it, they didn't do quite as well. It's because when the pressure hit, they just couldn't handle it.
You know? That's true. Yeah.
Absolutely. I 100% agree with that. Now, I've been dying to know, like, okay, so you got teamed up with Naisha.
Yeah.
You were on her team. Love. Obviously, you two had this, like, amazing bond.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Where did that come from? Was it right away?
Like
like... Did that just happen right away? Had your paths crossed before that you had each other?
We never met before. And it's funny because we both have that same vibe. And I think maybe it's from that gym environment.
Sure.
That whole like team vibe, that hoorah, that let's go. And I think that's why we click so well on the show. And I was fortunate enough to do some content with her.
Yeah, we've been watching it. It's great. It's great. I was like, look at those two. Like,
yeah, and then because we vibe right away, because not many people worked out as seriously as us. Like, we worked out every day while we're on the show. And nobody else did. I was by myself in that hotel gym every morning at like 5, 6 in the morning before that bus left. Mm-hmm. And for me, because working out is more than just physical, it's mental. It's a way for me to kind of like anchor myself, and it's for me to feel normal, right? When I don't work out, I don't feel normal, just even mentally. So like for us, we're kind of like cut from the same cloth. And I think it was like a perfect match for her to draft me and be on that same team, because we both had that same energy and that same vibe.
And she wasn't easy on you. She would give you shit when you were going down the wrong pathway. You know, she would come at you and say, no, do this or do that, or where's your head, right? So that must have been helpful.
Yeah, that's super helpful. And like, I like that. You know, I come from an athletic background, and like, you can't sugarcoat things, especially when you're trying to be the best you can be. You know, when I'm trying to be the best, I want you to critique me. I want to be the best, right? So I want to see where my biggest weaknesses are, and I want to turn them into a strength. And the only way to do that is find your weakness and, you know, fine tune it and get better. So I'm glad I had somebody like her where it's like that tough love kind of thing, because you know they care about you. Because if she didn't care, she wouldn't even tell me anything.
Right. No. Yeah. And she, I mean, we've talked so much about like the kind of like the different judges and their styles and how they coach and mentor. And she's, I think, definitely one of the toughest, but like to your point, like more of like a coach, you know, she has very much that athletic kind of like coach.
Yeah.
Again, she doesn't sugarcoat things. She's not really going to like handhold you and help you.
Yeah.
She's going to try to steer you in the right direction. You know, which I think is the best way about it.
Different people respond differently to different styles. I respond really well to that.
Right.
I'm one of those people, like, if you say something negative towards me, it makes me better, right? I'm like, you know what, I'm going to prove you wrong, or I'm going to make sure it's 100% next time. Like, I like that challenge, where some people, like, crumble under that. And I noticed that, like, I was always, like, a team captain in basketball. I had to speak differently to speak to different players. Some players, like, did well when you bitched them out. Some players crumbled. I had to be more positive. You know, pull them aside, talk nicely to them. Because at the end of the day, when you're a coach, when you're a leader, when you're somebody that you're supposed to lead, the main goal is to get the best out of each certain individual and as a team.
Yeah.
So
you got to know how to read everybody. And
Like, for example, like, a lot of Richard Blaze is amazing, but I would have been way too much for him to handle. I'm
he would have crumbled under
He's
you.
He's like one of those little guys with a leash and a giant dog.
Oh my gosh.
Running around, or just like, I'm way too much for him.
It's so funny. It's
one
so
of the
true.
Shocking eliminations had to be when you were in the elimination, and you would sort of beat people like the number one seeded person. That had to be like, holy shit, what's going on here?
Yeah, it was that week, those two eliminations back to back I did against Lauren and then Chris.
Yeah, Chris.
So intense. Especially the one against Chris, because
totally.
I did the haka that day, I remember. And
that's right.
And the haka, like, it gets you so hyped, but then also, like, it's so emotionally draining. And I just remember before that elimination, I was just like, oh my God, like, I can't go home.
So much, yeah.
Yeah, and I'm drained, and I'm like, I can't go home after doing the haka. My people will disown me, you know? that's the last thing I want. And I remember just pounding pre-workouts, pacing up and down. And in my mind, I was so confident in myself. And I said this on the episode. I was like, I don't care if it's Chris. I don't care if it's Gordon Ramsay going up against me right now. They're going down. And sure, that's crazy. Of course, I'm not better than Gordon Ramsay. But sometimes you have to be delusional in the confidence in yourself, right? Because if you go into a battle, you go into a sports game, you go into a cook-off, and you know you're going to lose, guess what? You're probably going to lose. But if in the back of your head and deep down inside your heart, your guts, if you truly believe in yourself, you're going to do so much better than, even if you still lose, you're going to do better than you ever expected. So I just had that confidence within me. I was like, you know what? He is Gordon's number one pick. But guess what? He's about to go down, because I wasn't just doing it for myself anymore. I was doing it for a whole country, a whole culture.
Totally.
Yeah, I love it. Now, your elimination was definitely, I think, one of the most emotional, obviously, of the season. Let's talk about it. Let's get in there and tell me how it felt. Tell me what happened.
It was tough, because there's so many things that emotionally we'll get to one. The previous episode, I was riding sky high.
Right, yeah.
Atop this token, like I'm at the top of the mountain right now.
Right, and that's like one day to the next, you know,
yeah,
in like real time. It's like
crumbling down so fast.
12 hours later.
Over a lemon slice. Like the things I cooked on that show were unreal. Half of the stuff I cooked on it was the first time ever. Right, like I never rolled a sushi before.
Right.
Like I'm just like freestyling it, right? And for me to potentially go home on a lemon slice, I was just so mad at myself. Especially it was the first thing I did. I literally like we got the basket. I sliced the perfect lemon slice, put it aside because I needed the lemon for the sauce. So I was like, let me get that out of the way so I don't ruin the lemon. And for me to forget that and to go potentially go home on that, just like I was so mad at myself. And I remember when they first called Zach and then myself, and I was like, look, to me, Zach is just so freaking talented. I'm like,
I know.
This is like, this is David versus Goliath, and I'm David here. But when they called Zay, I was like, okay, I have a good chance. I was 33%. I could probably take Zay on, you know, like, let's see what happens. And I remember 5 minutes into the cook when Zach messed up his risotto. He put vinegar instead of wine. I'm like looking around, I'm like I think I
like maybe, yeah.
Because that was the first time I made risotto in my life. I don't think they never aired that. I've never made risotto before.
Really?
I never. I've maybe eaten it once. So like,
and it's like the kiss of death on national television.
The flavors were there. The shrimp was there, but the consistency was slightly off. But fast forward to being eliminated, I just remember the first thought. I always thought I'd be so upset as soon as I hear my name being eliminated. I was so proud.
Yeah.
Because I went so much further than I ever expected. Like, I went in and I had a personal goal. I was like, I want to at least get to 3 episodes. Like, get to the draft and hit at least 3 episodes. And I remember I'm good friends with, you know, Jet Tila.
Absolutely.
I did Guy's Grocery with games with him.
Yes, I saw you on those episodes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was just perfect kind of practice for this show. And that's another like advantage I had, just kind of like having that time constrained, being on camera. But he was like, you know what, you got to hit. I remember the day before I flew out to Ireland, I went to see him and he was like, you got to hit at least 8 episodes. So then it like kind of upped the ante. And
you're
it's
like, damn.
You're like 13 episodes in. You know, winning the top dish, winning the token, doing the haka for Gordon Ramsay. Like, I went so far and above and beyond my wildest expectations. I was just so proud of myself. Obviously, yeah, as a competitor, like, I hated to go down, but I couldn't be more proud. And I just remember in the interview room, the only time I teared up, got emotional is because thinking after every episode, I'd call my wife to tell her what happened. Like, I didn't want to tell my family, like, I lost, right? Because my kids were like, Daddy, you're going to win. You're going to win. I just didn't want to disappoint them. You know, not that they're always proud of me, but I just didn't want to make that call. I would do anything in the world but to make that call.
Let's just delay that a little bit longer.
Yeah, that's when the emotions started coming out.
Yeah.
But overall, I was just so freaking proud of myself. I was like, this is unreal. I couldn't write it any better. To go out on a haka like that, like that last minute.
Yeah, right, to get to do that again.
Like,
and
I had
yeah.
people in tears. I gave them the chills with the haka. Then I had them laughing as I was leaving. Like, it was just so emotional. And now with all the just overwhelming support, like I have thousands of DMs and comments and people saying they're crying. I have kids crying.
Yeah.
I got eliminated and they show me the videos. And I'm like, I never thought I would have that kind of effect on people. And I love it because at the end of the day, that's my main goal in life, is to inspire and motivate and connect people over food and sports.
Yeah.
And so I was trying to do it through WWE. Now I'm doing it through food. Like, it doesn't matter what the tool I'm using is. At the end of the day, my main goal in life is to be able to connect and inspire people.
Totally.
Yeah, you definitely, I mean, obviously you left a mark on the show and all the people that watched it on the judges, you know, I mean, you know, you did your job, and it's not always about, you know, coming home on top, number one. That's a hard, it's for me too. I'm like a competitive person. It's a hard like realization to come to that, like, no, you didn't win, but still make a mark.
Yeah, exactly. And that was my main goal. I'd rather leave a mark like I did than win without leaving a mark.
Yeah, right? Exactly.
And there's competitors that win and like people kind of forget about them, not just in this show, but just any show in general.
Mm-hmm.
But there's competitors that don't finish first, second, third. They're not even top five, but you remember them forever. Look at Teenie, for example.
Totally.
She's the biggest name from last season. I forgot right. where she finished, you know, and you kind of forget even what dishes she made.
Yeah.
You remember her. You remember the moments, right?
Yeah.
You connect with that person, and that's right. really what I wanted.
Yeah. You made your mark, man. What are you doing now? Where are you in? You're on Instagram. I know you're doing great stuff. You're always yeah. kind of posting and whatnot. What's happening yeah. with you now since the show?
Right. Yeah. Right now I'm back. So I'm a personal trainer out here in LA. So that's kind of like my main gig. I do a lot of social media as well. Now with the show getting, you know, more brand deals and stuff like that. So trying to grow the social media, but my end goal is I'm trying to pitch my own show right now. It's called Beasting and Feasting. It's a world travel food and sports show.
Right.
So think Anthony Bourdain meets sports. So you're going to Japan, you're doing sumo wrestling and eating sushi. You're going to Brazil, doing Brazilian jiu-jitsu, eating Brazilian food. So you get to experience the world through food and sport. Because my life, you know, I was born in Egypt, grew up in New Zealand. I played basketball in college, professional overseas, WWE, trained celebs. Now I'm cooking with Gordon Ramsay, like all these different things I'm doing. It doesn't matter where I am in the world. I can connect with people through food and sport. You
yeah.
know, we're connecting through this podcast right now because we're talking about food, right? I can go to any gym or any, you know, soccer field or football field and connect with people and play with people with that sport and connect with them. It doesn't matter your race, religion, your background. You can really unite and connect people. So that's like my ultimate goal right now.
It's amazing,
oh, awesome. Yeah, yeah, we're awesome. We love seeing these success stories and seeing that what comes out of it. It's yeah. amazing to watch all you guys. This season, you guys had so many special contestants, so many really great yeah. people on here. So we love hearing. Yeah, we love hearing what you guys are all doing now and the success that's coming from it and the springboard yeah. that it allows you guys to kind of propel off of.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, like you said, it's a springboard and it's all about how hard you kind of like jump off it. You know, some people are like making the most of it. Some others might not be. But at the end of the day, like you have to do the work. You know, I'm posting multiple times a day on every platform. I'm doing so many different things, just trying to take advantage of this opportunity because it's like a once in a lifetime opportunity
yeah.
to do what we got to do recently.
Right. Yeah. And now where can we all follow you on all your social channels?
Real Deal Mada, MADA.
You heard
I'm
it here,
TikTok,
guys. Real Deal Mada.
YouTube, Instagram, you name it.
All the things.
Book face, as my dad would call it.
Love it.
Well, Mada, thank you so much for taking some time to chat with us. Again, we are so proud of you. We loved watching you this season on the show, and we will continue to follow everything you're doing. We know we're going to see a lot more of you. So thanks for joining us.
Awesome. Thank you guys so much. Really appreciate it.
Thanks, Mada.
All right. Thanks,
All right.
Mada. We'll
Let's
see you
go!
later.
Love it.
All
Bye.
Right. Bye.
Bye.